Lesson 27, cosine or no sign. To cosign means to sign a contract along with someone else. The contract will now have two signatures, yours and your friend's. I am assuming that you have good credit and that your friend has asked you to cosign a loan because they are not able to secure a loan on their own. By cosigning, you and your friend are each committing to pay back the loan with interest. The reason you have been asked to cosign is because the bank or lending agency does not think your friend is a good risk and that he might not pay back the loan. Another reason the bank has chosen not to loan the money to your friend is that your friend does not have sufficient assets or collateral to cover the cost of the loan. Let's use an example to illustrate the process. Benny is a good friend and he wants to buy a boat. He needs $5,000 to buy this boat, so he sits down with the loan officer at the Fulton Bank. The bank investigates Benny's income and credit history and then asks him if he has any collateral or assets, such as a home, a piece of real estate, a bag of gold coins, or something else that is worth at least $5,000. If Benny has collateral and he defaults, which means he is not able to make his monthly payments on time, the bank can seize those assets, all of them, sell them, and recoup the cost of the $5,000 loan. Benny does not have any valuable assets, so the loan officer asks him if there is someone who can co-sign the loan who does have assets and collateral. Benny asks me if I would be willing to co-sign the contract. He tells me he can repay this loan without any problem, but he needs to co-sign the contract so he can secure the loan. He assures me this is only a formality, and it would be a big favor if he would do this, if I would do this for him. I like Benny, and I want to help him out. The bank's loan officer looks at my ability to pay back a loan, investigates my collateral and assets, and decides I am reliable enough to sign along with Benny. A year later, Benny has an accident and is laid off of work. It is not long before he is unable to make payments on his boat. The bank informs me that it is now my responsibility to make these payments because my name is on the contract. I don't like boats, but I am now paying for one. Not only am I responsible for the loan, but my relationship with Benny is becoming strained. He promises to pay me back when he gets back to work. But another year has gone by and I have not seen any money, nor have I seen the boat. I have thought about selling the boat, but now it is not worth $5,000. If I don't make Benny's boat payments, my own credit rating will be damaged. After 2 years go by, I have lost $5,000 and a friend and don't have a boat. Flee. Co-signing for someone else is foolish. Proverbs is clear on this subject in chapter 6, the first 5 verses. My child, if you have put up security for a friend's debt or agreed to guarantee the debt of a stranger, if you have trapped yourself by your agreement and are caught by what you said, follow my advice and save yourself, for you have placed yourself at your friend's mercy. Now, swallow your pride, go, and beg to have your name erased. Don't put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do. Save yourself like a gazelle escaping from a hunter, like a bird fleeing from a net. There are reasons why your friend or relatives can't get the credit on their own. More often than not, they will not be able to keep making payments, and you will be left paying their debt and having nothing to show for it but a painful lesson. Galatians 5 reminds us, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. It may seem hard to say no to a friend when he asks you to co-sign his loan. Encourage him to save up for the desired purchase to avoid getting in over his head in debt. If he is a good friend, he will thank you for valuing your friendship enough to not enter into a financial transition with the potential to hurt your relationship. If he does not see it that way and puts pressure on you to sign, then it is my opinion that he is only thinking of himself, and his attitude is a confirmation for not co-signing. Co-signing for family. There are situations in which parents may want to help their son or daughter establish credit. In order to borrow money to purchase a home, a bank would like to see the borrower have a history of making payments responsibly. It can be difficult for a young adult to receive their first credit card since they don't have any credit history. One of the ways a young person can begin to build a positive credit history is to secure a loan, pay it off faithfully, and demonstrate that they are diligent and trustworthy. To secure that first loan, maybe your parents will have to co-sign the contract. Scripture is pretty clear on co-signing contracts, but if all parties understand the risks, this may be an option to be considered. The bank may know the family and believe they are reliable and a good risk. If a parent and their child decides to enter into this joint agreement, I hope that parents and children alike understand the implications of co-signing and are prepared for the worst-case scenario, which is that the child cannot continue making the payments and the parents are now responsible to fulfill their contractual obligations. After a young adult has established his or her own credit history, I would avoid further co-signing, which can foster dependence and contribute to unhealthy relationships. A close friend of mine co-signed a loan for a new car for his wife. A few years later, they split up. She quit making payments, and the car was repossessed. He ended up having to work 3 jobs for several years to make the payments on this car. Please be careful. Lending to family and friends. Let's think back to our first illustration with my friend Benny the borrower. What if I decide not to co-sign the loan for the boat, and Benny then asks me to loan him the money for the boat from my own funds? I am now the bank, and I need to think like one. I need to ask Benny why the bank does not think he is a good credit risk. What assurances can he give me that he will pay me back in a timely fashion? What if an emergency occurs and he loses his job next week? Do not assume anything when working out an agreement for a loan with a friend or relative. Write everything out in black and white. Have both parties read the agreement and sign on the dotted line. I am all in favor of Christians helping out brothers and sisters in the Lord with everything from small loans to financing the purchase of a home. Since valuable friendships are now involved, the clearer you spell out the terms of repayment, the interest rate, how soon you can pay it off, and any other details, the better off all the concerned parties will be. Otherwise, you may not only lose the cost of the loan, but a friend as well. Sometimes parents lend funds to their children. Having all of the expectations spelled out clearly in writing extends to families as well. All people have different expectations, and the clearer you can be up front, the better off you will be in the long run. If there are older people involved in the deliberations, and there usually are, since they often have the most money, remember that they may forget things. I think it is best to have everything in writing. There is nothing dishonorable about creating and signing a document. In the process, you are working to maintain and protect a valued relationship. A lawyer or an accountant can be helpful in these situations to make sure the document includes everything necessary, that it is written correctly and clearly, and that it is understood by everyone involved. Mom and Dad, my mother and father bought my wife and me our first home because we had no collateral nor a steady job. I was self-employed and the bank would not consider giving us a mortgage. It was generous of our folks because we would have been forced to rent a small home if we could have found one. We agreed on an interest rate, drew up a payment plan, and then we faithfully sent checks to them each month. We did not have a written contract, but instead we entered into a gentleman's agreement. We thought we understood the parameters of our arrangement. Now, I do not like owing money, and so we worked hard to send extra payments. Eventually, with the help of God, we paid off the loan in less than 6 years. We felt like a load had been lifted off of our backs. However, my dad was not a happy camper about the early payoff. We discovered he was looking at these regular payments as an investment and thought he would be using our monthly checks as a source of income when he retired. I assumed he would be happy that we had paid him back early, but I was mistaken. We could have done a much better job in articulating our expectations to each other up front. This is a good example of why it is better to write everything down. The borrower is a servant. Another reason a relationship will become strained when finances are involved is because of the principle of borrower and lender. Proverbs 22:7 reads, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender." If you do borrow from a parent or friend, be aware that this will introduce a new twist in your relationship. They are now the lender, and you are the servant, or vice versa. This verse may never be mentioned. Nevertheless, the dynamic is ever present as long as you owe someone money. Sandy and I loaned money to some close friends. We agreed on all the particulars, drew up a contract, and entered into an official agreement. They made regular payments, and we were thankful to be able to help them out. We didn't think anything about the loan. From our perspective, all was well. But after a few years, our friends went to a bank to secure a loan and paid us off. They felt that our relationship was different when we became their lenders. So to maintain a healthy friendship, they decided to work with the bank instead of us. We never mentioned the principle of servant lender, but apparently they felt it. I am glad we eliminated the tension in our relationship. On the plus side, it is comforting to know that a parent or friend is the lender if emergencies do arise. It is usually easier to approach a merciful friend or family member for an extension instead of the board of a lending institution. Jack Whitaker, winner of the $315 million Powerball in 2002, bemoans how relationships are affected when money is involved. He said that practically all of his former friends have asked to borrow money from him. In his own words, quote, "And of course, once they borrow money from you, you can't be friends anymore," unquote. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Father, thank you for this truth. Thank you for helping us to maintain friendships in this area of money. Amen.